Yeah, Rebbe, you can start the recording.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay, we're about to begin to embark upon a new sugya. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Gittin and Daf Chaf that a person can give a get in a very, very strange way. That the get is really not worth anything in terms of monetarily. Halachically, it's very, very worthwhile, but in terms of monetarily, it's worth zero. It's so worth zero that the get is written on a piece of paper that's asabanah. And I mean, literally a piece of paper. It's hard to envision a piece of paper asabanah, but a person wrote a get on a cheeseburger, a person wrote a get on a fruit of orla, shahaniskal, any other creative way of writing a get on an item that's asabanah. So the Gemara says that the get still kosher. Shalchem itam kosher l'yisrael no kosher. So it's interesting that the Gemara needed a chiddush for the B'nai Bavel to teach that to B'nai Bavel. B'nai Bavel didn't figure that out on their own. It was the Shalch B'itam. They sent the message from the B'nai Bavel. That's the din. So this sugya of kosher is really going to be almost a springboard for many, many different things. We'll talk about in the next couple of shiurim. But almost like each one is like a subtopic. And the first part of the sugya that we talk about is everyone can mute themselves. There's a lot of background noise. Okay, that the first part of the sugya is the idea that this background, this star, this shahaniskal, this cheeseburger, whatever the case may be, is not worth anything. Obviously, if it's us, but no, it's hard to get anything in the market. You're not allowed to sell it. So it has a shabbos, has a value of zero. If it has a value of zero, so it raises the question, wait a second, isn't that a violation of the Nosan B'Yada? I think we've seen that pasuk once or twice this year, that it has to be a Nesina. And the Nesina presumably conjures up the image of it has to be a Matana. Matana means it has to be worth something, it has to be a gift. I give you a gift that's worth nothing. What kind of gift is that? So comes the Gemara and says, don't you see from here that that's a big problem? How can it be that costly Surah no kosher? Typically, that it has to be worth something. So Gemara says, I see from here, that's not true. You see from here that what the Torah says, "V'nasan miyada," it doesn't mean a shavuot. The word "matana" in halacha doesn't necessarily conjure up the image of a shavuot. Nesina is a get; it's a given. I mean, I picked up the piece of paper and gave it to his wife. He did a ma'ase nesina. Ah, up halacha, it's not worth anything, etc. So that's the difference. It's still considered to be a ma'ase nesina. So that idea that the Gemara is mechadish just for gittin, the emes is really going to be gittin. This is a kol Torah kula kind of a question. Now, when the Torah uses the word nesina, maton, etc., those kinds of phrases, those kinds of terms, what do they really mean? Do they conjure up the image of being worth something or not? So, like mechadish gittin, maybe different than anything else. So, Torah just begins to sing you off by going through a whole list. It's like Google Lahabda, like Google the word Nesina in Halach and said, oh, the word Nesina appears in 15 places in Shah, 15 places in Chumash. Let's take a look at each one and see, does it mean they're a Pruta, does it not mean a Pruta? So the first one that Tosfos discovered was actually not even a Pasuk in Chumash, it's actually a Pasuk in Ksuvim. It's a Pasuk, I think we're still within the Shemesh Meit HaShlom and Shavuos, so I think it's still apropos to give us Tichu Shiyam Megillas Rus. So Tosfos dug up a Pasuk in Megillas Rus, Menasad Re'eu. The Pasuk says that they did a Kinyan Chalipin, was also fun of Yisrael, like Lulubat Mur, the Kaim Kodob, etc. Shalaf Ishnalav and Asad Re'eu. So Taisi says, oh, has it been Nesina? The Pasuk in the Megillah describes the word Nesina. It says, Taisi, everybody knows that the kli that you use for a kin chalipin need not be worth a shavapruta. It could be worth a shavapruta if you want to. I usually do a kin chalipin with a pen because that's the kli that I have most available. Either by Mechiris Chametz or by the Chosin's Tishrei. You can do some people like take off the yarmulkes, they wear a watch, give the glasses, whatever it is. But it doesn't have to be a pruta. That's a Ferish Gemara, both in the beginning of Maseches Kedusha as well as in the fourth Berachah of Mitzvah, that Ferish Gemara kainim b'kli af b'shem b'shavapruta. Says, oh, how do you explain away this phenomenon? That Kleinim Bekliyah, Mishem Shavapruta, isn't there a din Benasa Riyayu? As I said, you see from here that there is no such din, that Nesina doesn't mean a Pruta. And Taisus connects to that and says, Nesina doesn't mean a Pruta by Gittin, and it doesn't mean a Pruta by Chalipin as well. This is all part of the same theme, part of the same story. Taisus is going to go on with 15 other rais and kashas, but at least for our purposes this morning, Taisus is satisfied with the equation. Taisus is okay that the word Nesina does not mean the image of Mishav Pruta. Even less than a Pruta is also called Nesina, and therefore it's good enough for Get, good enough for Chalipin. So let's see if we can analyze this line in Taisus. Now again, Taz is going to have other kashas, and there will be other gemaras, and there will be other dinim that Taz is going to have to try to work on a little bit. But this particular one, Taz is comfortable with. This fits into the pattern, to the theme of Nesina not being worth the pruta. Let's see, is that really true? Is Taz's rai? Is Taz's presentation of Khalipin accurate, at least according to everybody? So let's take a almost like 10 steps back to a totally different sugya that appears in the Masechet Shavuos. And sorry, it's hard for me to reference the Maamar Kamus exactly, because I have everything. I'm on my phone now, so it's hard for me to get the text and the thing at the same time. So just we're still celebrating Tashi Mapes, so trust me, everything. Hopefully, whatever I'm saying is in the Makari. You should take a look for yourselves as you get a chance. So comes the Mishnah in Masechet Shavuos and teaches us a very famous halacha. It's what's called Shavuos Meidim Miktzos. That if there's a din Torah between Reuben and Shimon, Reuben says to Shimon, you owe me $100. And Shimon responds back, no, I owe you $50. I don't owe you the full $100. So two things happen. So first of all, Shimon has to pay the $50. That's Hodos Maldin Kimeidim. Now he admitted that he owes $50. Now he has to pay, even if he changes his mind an hour later and he says he was lying, he was telling a story. Tough luck, Bez is going to force him to pay the 50 because he admitted that he owes the 50. But in the remaining 50, so he's Nishma, takes a Shvur the Araisa. That's called Shvur Smeid of Mixed. That's Mazin Chumash, Ashay Yomakiyuz, Tashma Peh. We have Allah Moshe Messina, he teaches us. That's what those Psukim mean in Pashas Mishpatim, the Shvur Smeid of Mixed. So the Mishnah says in Masechet Shavuos that in order for the din of Shvur Smeid of Mixed to kick in, the original claim has to be a significant amount of money. Usually when we think of an amount of money, our knee-jerk reaction is a pruta. So here the Mishnah says that it is different. That hatayin shtei kesef, that in order for the din of Meidim Miktzos to even start, it has to be a much, much greater tayin. It has to be, it's called shtei kesef. What's shtei kesef? So you have to learn all the currency values of the days of Chazal, with the shkolim, with the sloim, with the dinrim, with the zayim. It just gets a little confusing. But the bottom line is that the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, ki yiten isha re'eu kesef okelim lishvar. The Torah speaks about kelim b'loshin rabim, and it uses the same phrase, it uses the word kesef. It says we have a tradition that my kelim shtayim of kesef shtayim, that you have to have a taina of the equivalent of shtei kesef, whatever the amount of silver is. It has to be a much, much larger amount of a taina of a tibia, more than just the bare bone amount of a pruta. So comes the Gemara in Masechet Shavuos and says, but what if I have the following din Torah? What if I don't come to you and I say, you owe me $1,000? What if I say to you, you owe me X amount of kelim? You owe me two shovels, and you say, only one shovel. That's also considered to be a Meidim Miktzos. So the Gemara says, of Shmuel, that Yatsu kelim l'mashahein. Since the Torah says the same phrase, ki yitein Yisrael kesef o kelim. So the plural of kelim teaches me that you need two. But the word kelim themselves is Yatsu kelim l'mashahein. That if the din Torah is about kelim, so then the kelim need not be worth shtei kesef. That a kli is considered to be so chashuv, and even if it's not on the market value of that amount of silver of shtei kesef, that's also called shvus meidim miktzos. So it's a strange thing. Everything is revolving around the word kelim. Kelim taught me the requirement of shtei kesef, but if it's a kli proper, so there's no din of shtei kesef. It doesn't have to be worth two kesef. So the bottom line is, based on all the drushes, all the tashrupas, everything, it comes out as follows. If I come to you and I say that I gave you two shovels, and you say, no, you only gave one shovel, and you give me back the one shovel, and you deny the other shovel, so then there is going to be a din of shvus meidim miktzos, and we need not figure out the value of the shovels, so it doesn't really matter. Either the shovels altogether were worth half kesef, three quarters of kesef, one half kesef, it doesn't matter. Yotzkem l'mashim. That's the din b'feresh t'gemar. So now there's a big machlokes in Mishnayim as to what's the next step of this equation. So everybody agrees there's a din by kesef, you need shtei kesef. Everyone agrees that kelim are different. Now the Rishonim kick in with the following machlokes. Some Rishonim say that yatsu kelim l'mashe just means that special added dimension of zeres hakosav of shtei kesef, that doesn't apply to kelim. But the basic din of a pruta, hayitochen, we have the entire less than a pruta. A joke. So let's say I claim that you owe me two needles, and you claim you only owe one needle. And we go to the store, and we say, the whole needles are worth less than a pruta. So we have to be sure and say that's not a din Torah. So what din Torah is that? The Torah is the makshiv. It was a mabon less than a pruta. It's meaningless. The whole chiddush Torah, the chiddush din that of Shmuel Yotzukei on the Mashahed, that a kli is considered to have intrinsic significance, and it breaks the rules. That means it breaks the rule of shtei kesef. It doesn't break the rule of pruta. Pruta is a pruta. Pruta is of course relevant even for kelim. And other Rishonim say no. The other half of Rishonim says that's not true. And when the Gemara says yotzukem the mashe means kosher, means even zero. If I claim you owe me two needles and you say only one needle, we go to the needle store and the whole price of needles, hakol mikol kol, is a thousandth of a pruta. Is a shvur deraisa. You have to come into the shul with your hands on the same turn and take a shvur deraisa. It means it's unheard of. It's less than a pruta. Whoever heard of having dinner term, la pausa de pruta. That's the din called Yatzukei L'mashe. So again, everyone agrees to the basic din of Maidim Mitzvahs. Everyone agrees to the basic din. Hey, Nishtei Kesef for the Maidim Mitzvahs. Everyone agrees that Kalim changes the rules a little bit. How far do Kalim change the rules? That's the shah. So now the question becomes as follows. According to the second group of Rishonim, who say that Kalim break the rules so much to such an extent that the Torah is mityaches to less than a sharpruta. It's something that's normally unheard of. The Torah and Pachas sharpruta don't exist in Halacha. But when they revolve around Kalim, so then everything changes. So within that sheet, again, this is only within the second group of Rishonim. Within that second group of Rishonim, the Yatzukei L'mashe means that even less than a sharpruta is considered to be chashivos. So what does that mean? That means what the Halacha is telling me is that when you deal with Kalim, you don't ask the question how much it's worth. That's not a question on the table. This is not a din prati in hilchus meidim mitzvahs. It's not a hilchus meidim mitzvahs. This is a din klali in figuring out shabbos of dvarim, that the concept of a value, the concept of a minimum monetary value that gefadini astara was only said by blocks of silver, by blocks of gold, by coins, things of that nature. But the minute that we're talking about kalim are chashuvim themselves. You could do things with the kelim. Maybe that's the svara of the din. That it's true that a needle itself, so to speak, doesn't sell for more than a bruta, but if you're a tailor, you can use the needle and you can make a lot of expensive embroidery. You can get a lot of money out of this needle. So kelim have the ability to create things. So again, if you want to give like a hashkafa to this halacha, then it makes sense to say such a thing from an economics point of view. It makes sense. You have a clear that's worth less than a pruta. You can use it to eventually create more than a pruta. So maybe that's the svar sadar. So within those rishonim, so now comes the Rashba and says, now I'll explain to you, now that the Rashba sides with those rishonim, now that we have this chiddush, that that there's no din of shtei kesef by kelim, there's no din of a pruta by kelim. Kelim breaks all bounds. Now that we're mechadish is din, says the Rashba, now I understand the following. Taka makes a lot of sense. Why kind of a kli af b'shem b'shem pruta? Why is it that you can do a kinin chalipin with less than a shem pruta? Because the kinin chalipin, by definition, always requires a kli. That's the Gemara in the fourth Bechah Bavitzi. It's actually a machlekes. I'm rhyme about that. If you look at Megillus Rus, we just read a couple of days, if you look at Megillus Rus, so the model of Megillus Rus was a kli. Shalif Ishnal of Rasareel. So Boaz gives the shoe to the goyel. So the model that happened to be in the days of Boaz and Rus, so the kinyan chalipin that they used was a shoe. So there's a machlekes amarayim as to what's the din l'dor is. We say this many times in the Torah, the halacha gives a model of something. So we have to pick up on the important characteristics of the model and ignore the trivial characteristics of the model. So which part of the model of a shoe is important for us to derive from? So one opinion, the Gemara says, that it doesn't have to be dafka shoe, it doesn't have to be a glove, it doesn't have to be a belt, it doesn't have to be a yarmulke, it doesn't even have to be a kli. It could be a fruit also. I could take an apple. So I give you an apple, and I say, I'm giving you an apple, and in return for this apple, I'm giving you the apple, and you sell me your $10 million house. So according to one opinion, the Gemara, that's good. Pay us out the chalipin. And we pass like Rav Nachman. The Rav Sheshes was the first human, the Gemara says in the fourth Bechah Bavitzi Mitzvah, that we pass in like Rav Nachman, that pay us out the chalipin, that it has to be a kli. Now again, even according to Rav Nachman, it doesn't have to be a shoe, it doesn't have to be exactly what it says in the Megillah, but it has to be close enough. So Rav Nachman understood that apples and shoes are very different from one another. One's a kli, one's a beichel, they're different areas, different categories of monetary objects. And therefore, when the pasuk is mechadish to us, it's a din of kinyan chalipin. It doesn't have to be a perfect replica of a shoe in Beis Lechem. It can be in Bergenfeld also. It can be a watch in Bergenfeld. It can be a yarmulke in the marina. It could be a lot of different things, but it has to be much close enough to the model. It's got to be a kli. So kli, that's what the Gemara says in Mamitzia. That's why at the last line of a shtar, where we write up that we did a kid chalipin. So next time we go to chas, listen to the ksubas read. It says v'kanina min darana b'mana l'tekashel mikneir bay. Mana means a kli. A tikkun mana in Aramaic is makhle patish, a tikkun kli in Hebrew. So mana is an Aramaic word for kli. So we dafka make that phrase, mana dekashel mikneir bay. So the Gemara says the reason why we say that is mana is to highlight the fact that we pass it from Nachman, that you need a kli and perilu of the chalipin. So comes the Rashi and says, "Oh, Bazoi, know that you're always going to have, by definition, you're going to have a kli when you do a kin chalipin." So then I understand why kinyan mikleh b'shem shavabruta. It makes a lot of sense why you could use less than shavabruta because of this halacha that basically every kli is always the equivalent of shavabruta. There's no such thing as saying the kli is not worth the shavabruta. It is shavabruta because you can work with it, do malach with it. Says the Rashi, the same way that in Shavuos you have to be shem hold, you can have a shavuot yaraisa, maybe mitzvah on kelim, even though they're not worth a shavabruta. In uchas kelim, pach shavabruta is like a shavabruta. So this idea that the Rashi and other Rishonim are developing, this is in clear contrast to the Tosfos and our sugya. Tosfos says that Tosfos scratching the head. Tosfos saying, how can it be that kli b'klav yishem shavabruta? The pasuk in the Megillah says, "V'nasimere ayu." How can it be? What can it be? Such halacha? Isn't there a din of nesina being a pruta? So Taisus works and Taisus works and says, "Oh, I get nafchav." The Gemara's mechadish get nafchav that v'nasa by a get means even less than a shor pruta. Nesina just means a maisa. Nesina just means a physical giving. It doesn't mean necessarily worth a pruta. So just as v'nasa by a get means not necessarily a pruta, so too. By chalipin means less than a pruta as well. That's Taisa's presentation. The Rashi would never say such a thing. The Rashi says that when it comes to chalipin, the reason why Parshat Pruta works by chalipin is because it's a kli. Not because the din is that matara doesn't mean Parshat. I mean, I'm just going to close the door in the room when I'm in. It's a little noisy. Sorry. So again, according to Tosfos, the reason why Pasul Shavapruta works by Chalipin is because the word Matana doesn't mean Shavapruta. According to the Rashi, the reason why Pasul Shavapruta works by Chalipin, because by definition it's going to be a Kli. We pass in that you need a Kli for Chalipin. So by definition, even a Pasul Shavapruta is Dino Keshavapruta. There's a major Machlekes and Rishonim over here. What I take is on this din. Everyone agrees to the din. The din are all the same. Everyone agrees that you can use Chalipin less than Shavapruta. Is it because Matana means less than a pruta, or is it because that a kli post shapruta is like a shapruta? That's this machlokes. But let's take this shaila one step further. There is a major, major machlokes playing out now in the Rishonim about what our very understanding of kinyan chalipin is all about. We should have, it's my bad, we should have timed this year before Shavuos. It would have been much more deeper meaning. We would have heard the Pesach and the Megillah, but still, Chazar. I remember my first year in Kambi Avna. So the first Shavuos, we were sitting around the table to suit to the first night of Shavuos. And that's something we were talking about some Shtil Dar about Chalipin. So I remember one of the Bachim commented, said, if you want to know a real misnagid, so that's what he talks about by the Shavuos. He talks about Kin Chalipin. That's like, you know, no fluff about it, not some nishmana, just talk about tachos, talk about Kin Chalipin. So we can still talk about Kin Chalipin. So this machlekes that we shine him about how this din of konum klisha v'shavutup works out seems to highlight a really fundamental and very, very basic yisodasik question about what kinyan chalipin is all about. That according to the Rashba's presentation, a kinyan chalipin really needs a pruta. In theory, needs a pruta. The only way we got out of it, and the halacha declares that konum klisha v'shavutup is because a needle less than a pruta is called a pruta. Was up, he did. It's considered to be worth a pruta, but the ikaron, you really should have required a pruta for getting chalipin. Whereas Taisus and Gittin is saying, because Gittin says there never was such a din, there never was such a requirement. It's like this, it's a gap. So, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Taisus and the Rashba? What would the din have been? Now, again, it's a funny way to present the Shaila because at the end they all agree to the facts on the ground. You don't need a shaput. That's a gemara in B'mitzia in the fourth parak. But how do you understand the nature of that halacha is a huge machlokes. According to the Rashba, the reason why ultimately you don't need a pruta for chalipin is not that you really don't need a pruta. You really do need a pruta. It's just that rapid than you have. There's a kli is by definition called a pruta. Why should that be so? Why should one think that chalipin should have required a pruta? Why would one think that? That's a silly thing even. Why does chalipin have to put a pruta? What's the issue? So there is a major, major machlokes in the Rishonim as to how to understand the very essence, the very nature of this idea called kinyan chalipin. Here we have these psukim regulus rus that refer to kinyan chalipin. Etc. How do we understand this idea of a kinyan chalipin in light of another kinyan that we know exists on the books that's very, very similar, has very many, many characteristics that some people even confuse the two, and that's a kinyan kesef. So we know that the Torah speaks about kinyan kesef in many, many places. Kedushin, of course, is shnikas kesef. That's one of the kinyan kesef in the Torah. There's a karkas that can be kesef, with all sorts of kedushas from there. And have a kinyanis that can be kesef, and have an ivris that can be kesef, etc. So you can be machlekes atanoim, perhaps you can be meshachar, or have a kinyan even with a kinyan kesef. You can for sure be meshachar, and have an ivris with a kinyan kesef. We know that kinyan kesef exists in many, many different, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So even metaltlim in the Torah, niknet v'atar mos kindness. So the multiple places in the halacha we find as a din d'oraisa, there's a concept called the kinyan kesef. So think about what is a kinyan kesef? Kinyan kesef is basically the koine gives something to the machne. That's basically what happens. So it gives him, and the truth is he doesn't even give the full amount. Let's say if I want to buy a house of you, so I want to buy a $1 million property for you, I don't have to give you $1 million. Can I give a kesef? So I give you a nickel, give you a pruta, and then I give you the rest of the money. So kinyan kesef exists in so many different areas of halacha, and it basically boils down to the kind of gives something very, very small and significant to the machna, which is kind of what's happening chalipin. But also, instead of me giving you a nickel as a payment, I'm giving you my watch, taking it right back again. So what is the relationship between those two kinds of kinyonim? So there's a big machlokes in Rishonim, whether we say that chalipin is mitam kesef or chalipin not mitam kesef. Do we say that chalipin is almost like a cousin of kesef? It's like a subcategory of kesef. It's not exactly kesef. I'm not saying it b'toras piron. I'm not saying b'toras kesef. Whatever that means, I'm giving zetach hazet. It's not a classic kesef. It's a little bit more symbolic in nature. But push comes to shove, there's a kind of, there's a machne, and there's an item, and there's an item being transferred. So that's very kesefi, kind of a kinyan. So chalipin is like a cousin of kesef. It's a subcategory. It's chalipin kesef. What do I say? Mapidom, that kesef the chalipin luchud. They're two different halachas. If you have this kind of a chakira, it's a very common chakira when you have these different halachic concepts, and there are certain similarities between them. But they're not identical. So you have a lot, sometimes you have these things that are similar but not identical. Now the question becomes, what's the relation between the two? So do we say that A is mitam B? That means A is basically b'tayr is B. A is following in the footsteps of B. Or do we say, no, A and B, those couple of differences with two are so significant that they highlight the fact that they're really two very, very different parashas. It's almost like you have an identical kind of a shayla, by zechi and shlichos. Like, I don't know if anyone... I can't see everyone on the screen all at the same time, but I think one or two people were at the Shiurim over Shavuos. So we spoke one of the Shiurim in the Shul over Shavuos. We spoke about Zechi and Shlichus. So that's a loaded question. The famous Machlokes in Rishonim. Shlichus always means that Reuven actually appoints Shimon to act on his behalf. What Zechi means is that Shimon does it on his own because it's something that's been doing the action. I'm not doing the Maisa Kenyan, and somebody else is doing it on my behalf. Similarity. But the similarity ends there. So we have two halachic concepts that have similarities and differences. So what do you do with that? So here after Hashem said, Zechi is mitam shlichus. Basically, Zechi is a subcategory of shlichus, and many of the and other Mishnah say, no, the differences are so radically different that Zechiyah is not a lav mitam, shlichus. So you have almost a similar kind of a chakir here also. We have Kasev and Chalipin. They're similar, but not identical. So do we subscribe to the view that Chalipin is mitam Kasev, or Chalipin is not mitam Kasev? So that shaila is going to impact us very, very much. If you hold that Chalipin is mitam Kasev, then I understand why you would have thought you need a pruta. Yitaka don't need a pruta. You can't pull off a kidding cast without pruta. It's the first mission kedushin. The first mission kedushin says isha nik is be kasef. But how much is kasef? They sell I'm in the pruta. This was a gemara, the sixth pechah b'mitzvah, and a gemara mission, the first pechah kedushin. That so if you hold the because Yatsu okay, are we back on now? Thumbs up if we're on.
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes.
I got chopped off. Okay, fine. So again, if you hold that Chalipin is mitam Kesef, so then it makes a lot of sense that Kesef needs a pruta, so Chalipin needs a pruta. It doesn't. Lamaisa, Chalipin doesn't need a pruta. No, says Rashi. Of course it needs a pruta. It's just that your little teeny-weeny needle that's worth less than a pruta is called a pruta. That's a shava pruta, just like it's like a dino kishava pruta legabi yochushvu is. But that's not all what Tyson Gittin says. Tyson Gittin is kemechum is a chmeirah. Tyson Gittin is all the end of the spectrum. Tyson Gittin says, nah, you don't need a pruta. You know why? This is not kinyonim. This is not kesef. This is not gzeres hakosef. Venosa mireyu. This is like get. Just as get, just the word venosa. If you look up in the dictionary, the word venosa doesn't mean a pruta necessarily. So just as the word venosa by get doesn't necessarily mean a pruta, so to the word venosa by chalipin doesn't necessarily mean a pruta. So lechayru the machlaikis I'm showing him about how to understand this din of kainim b'kleyap yishav yishav pruta. Is that because chalipin doesn't need a pruta, or because it does, but it clears like a pruta? So that, machlokes, really gets to the heart and soul of what chalipin is, what chalipin's not. Do you say that chalipin is mitam kesef, or do you say chalipin is not mitam kesef? So I referenced, there's a machlokes of Rishon. Who machlokes? Where does Rishon talk about this topic? Where do we find such a topic? So one of the places where we find this machlokes expressing itself is a sugya that we just had we had in Bikias, or we were just about to have in Bikias. I think we just had it. We just had it not that long ago in Bikias, in the fourth Brecha Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara is talking about the method of Shichur Eved Kenani. How does a person free his Eved Kenani? So it was a big Machlekes Atanoim. So the Torah speaks about two different potential methods of Shichur. One is Shtar and one is Kesef. So one time it says that Rabbi Shimon holds that the only method that the Torah recognizes for Shichur Eved Kenani is a shtar. The Torah says, Lo yimzu kelochu pasha in the parish of Shichur Harufa. So that's it. Horakal pasha kulios b'shtar. But the only way to be mishachar Eved Kenani is dafka to a shtar. Nothing else works. And the other Tanaim, but we pass the halacha, it's not true, that shtar is one method. And then there's another method. The other method is kesef. The machlekes revolved around how to reach out in the pasuk. It's the pasuk of Barash Kedoshim. V'haftel l'nifdos al-chusha l'nita la. So it says, Hafdil of Dos, Pidron is a Lashon Kesef always. Chuv Shal Anitalah is a senior refers to Shtar, that's the Yafusa from Get, Lola B'Isha. So the Torah speaks about Kesef, the Torah speaks about Shtar. So most of the Torah said, the Torah is giving you two different options. Hafdil of Dos, or Chuv Shal Anitalah, either one. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, that Leim Zuki Locho Pasha, the Torah is saying, don't think that through Kesef it's really going to work. Maybe Kesef will work for the Kinin Mamun, but for the Kinin Issa to make the Evi Kanayim to Ben Chayrin, You cannot get married to a regular Jewish girl. You have to have chusla nitan, you have to have a shtar. So we pass in halacha against Rabbi Shimon. We pass in that either kesef or shtar. So now there's a further machlokes of Rishon. What about a kidney chalipin? What if you would have a kidney chalipin? Would that work? Can it be mishachrin? Is it conceivable to be mishachrin and have a kinani through a kidney chalipin? So the machlokes of Rishon revolved around the funny story. The Gemara tells a story about how there was a fellow who wanted to free his Shiva Kinanis. He was Reb Psach Chemira. He wanted to free his Shiva Kinanis. And he tried to do a half-baked kin chalip with her. The problem was he didn't learn the four Pech B'Metziah, so he forgot that's the kain who gives the kli. There's one day in the Gemara that says away, so we don't pass like that. He held like Levi that the Machri gives the kli. So he went out and he took off his hat and he hands it to the Shivcha as a kin chalip. So the Gemara says, come on, that's not going to work. It's the wrong... Klee's going in the wrong direction. So the Rishonim had a machlekes. Some Rishonim said, oh, the only reason why it didn't work is because the Klee went in the wrong direction. But otherwise, if it would have been in the right direction, it would have been good. Another Rishonim said, no, there were two problems. The Klee went in the wrong direction, and it wouldn't have worked anyway because it's the Kin Khalip, and Kin Khalip doesn't work. So what's the Nekudas of machlekes? Why should Shichur Evi Kanani be effective through a Kin Khalip or not? So the Chari, that's the Shaila. The Torah says, Hafti lo nadosa. The Torah says it's a kesef. You need a ma'isekinin kesef. So if you hold that chalipin is mitam kesef, so it works. If you hold that chalipin is not mitam kesef, then it's not going to work. It's not going to fly. So that machlek is Rishonim, the fourth brech of Gittin, basically is now resurfacing in the second brech of Gittin. That's the issue that Tosfos is raising. That's the issue that the Rashi and Shavuos is arguing about. It says, what is that relationship between chalipin and kesef? So if chalipin is mamish, a subcategory, is a cousin of kesef, it works for shichur, so then... If it works for a shichur, so then that means that's mamash din kesef. It's din kesef. You need a pruta. I don't need a pruta. That's because the kli is like a pruta. But mashen kedi yehold that chalipin is bechlal not mitam kesef. It's a different parasha, different sigla gamrei. It's not going to work for a shichur because my shichur the Torah is not mechadish anything except for kesef and shtar that he done. And if you hold it, it's a separate din. It's nothing to do with kesef. It's very understandable why you don't require a shabbat pruta. So the real issue. And hand and getting in the second parak in this Tosfos is really fundamentally this question. It's more of a chalipin sugya. This is more of a b'metziah sugya than a gittin sugya. So for this Yom tomorrow, we'll try to pick up from this point this idea of whether chalipin is dinuk kesef, not in kesef, what that means, how this impacts, and in the greatest scheme of things, of this Yom, we'll pick this up tomorrow and try to then circle back to our Tosfos to try to see where it fits into in terms of getting daf chaf as well. Okay. Good. One of them was having. Thank you, Henry.